Did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water?
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby...
This is the Joseph Varley Presents Show. I'm Diana White-Eagle, co-producer. The live call-in number is 323-744-4831. Today, we are dedicating the show to Joseph's family friend, who is in heaven, Joe Boyle. Families always came first with Joe. He was once a partner in Joseph's flower shop in the Hilton Hotel in Del Mar, California. Our special guest is Ned Mantegna, a near-death researcher. He is with us today by popular demand. He founded the first and largest near-death experience group on Facebook in 2013. It now has 265,000 members. He is a medium and a seeker of truth. He always wants to remind us kindness is, in fact, the most important thing we do here on Earth. Welcome, Ned.
Thank you, Diana. I'm happy and excited to be here. I think the last one I did was sometime last year, and that message at the end in terms of how important kindness is, I want to emphasize that, especially given the current state of our world and our politics, and so many people who are focused on hating other people or, you know, apathy. And we have to have reminders at times of what actually is real and important. And so when people have near-death experiences, they almost always will come back and talk about how important love is, and with a capital L, or with the whole world word in capitals. And so, and it's for everyone. It's for all cultures, all people, all economic classes. And so we have to ask ourselves, a lot of people are religious. A lot of people consider themselves spiritual. And yet, you know, we have to all ask ourselves, are we claiming a label or claiming that we are somehow good? And yet, are we looking down on other people? Are we judging other cultures? Are we judging other political parties? You know, it's the truth that until we walk in the shoes of someone else, we don't have any idea of what led to the choices that they made. And so in everything, I'm not saying that the truth is not important or actions are not important. And so there are criminals, there are people out there who are harmful. But the overall message from spirit and God and the angels and everyone, our loved ones in spirit, is to be kinder towards each other. And we definitely have, you know, free will. A lot of people sometimes have beliefs, including in some religious groups or churches, in that, you know, in that the earth and the people on it really are not important. And so, like, if we pollute the earth, if we cut down all of our forests, that's okay, because Jesus will eventually save everything. Well, I want to share, as nice as that idea sounds, what people actually learn is kind of the opposite, is that we are here to save each other. Our free will is so important. And so it's not about looking externally for a savior. It's each and every one of us looking at each other and linking arms and saying, I support you. I support the earth. Let's actually make this a better world, rather than expecting someone else to come fix it. And so I feel like that message on this intro is so important. And I want to also add, sometimes near-death experiencers have come back and talked about seeing possible futures, visions, and sometimes they talk about a wonderful, beautiful Earth. Sometimes they talk about all kinds of terrorism and destruction and suffering. And a lot of them, the whole message is, it's up to us. It's almost like our responsibility as souls on Earth is not for nothing. It's the whole reason we're here. It's the reason they call the Earth a school. We come here to learn and grow. And so it isn't about getting as comfortably as we can and then just not caring with apathy about anyone else, about anyone's suffering. And so I felt like that is the overall message. And then I want to talk about if anyone's heard of IANS, which is the International Association for Near-Death Studies. It's an international organization, and the website is IANDS.org. And they basically provide informational materials and videos and even local groups. And every year they have a conference. And it's all about people who've had near-death and other experiences, which the vast majority of the public are not really interested in hearing. If you've had one of these experiences, you know that if you tell your spouse or your children or your friends, oftentimes it's kind of a mild curiosity, or sometimes it's like, I don't want to hear about that. And people are, you feel closed off. And so when you're around other people who know what you're talking about and who get it, it's like soul family. And and so every year the annual conference is over Labor Day weekend in a different city, and so at the end of August it'll be in Chicago. I'll be there. If anyone is a member or curious about near-death experiences, I highly recommend it. Even though it's a conference, it's you have to pay. However, if you help out as a volunteer, the fee is basically waived. And so I just wanted to plug that. As well, I heard that some people in the audience either may be veterans or no veterans. And out of all of the types of groups, when people are in war, many of them will have experiences like NDEs or spiritually transformative experiences. And in the military, you can't even talk about this at all because of the whole stigma, the whole, suck it up and do your job focus. And so IANS has a lot of people who are veterans. And so if you are a veteran and you want to learn more about all these, there are definitely resources. And Diane Corcoran, who was the president up until a few years ago, she is now in heaven. She was an Army colonel herself, and one of her passions was educating the military and the VA about these experiences. And so I also want to share about my own background. And so I haven't had a near-death experience that I have a clear memory of, although I've heard, when I talk to other mediums and experiencers, they often pick up that when I was an infant, something happened. And so I kind of have some of that energy or some of that perspective innately. And I think that's the reason why when I was a kid, I felt so alone and like an alien on Earth. I couldn't easily relate to other kids when everyone else I was playing on the playground or games, I would be looking at the trees or the animals or you know, the earth, and I just had a different perspective. And I know if you're a child experiencer or you know children who've had near-death experiences, they often will have a different perspective than the other kids as well. And so I relate with that part. And I say this because when I was a teenager, it kind of built up to a boiling point of I questioned, why am I here on Earth? It seemed like, you know, I didn't have any close friends. I wasn't close to my family. You know, an abusive father, and just kind of an unhappy life as a teenager. And then in school,
let me ask you.
Yes.
Did you ever feel like leaving the planet at that time?
Exactly. And so as a teenager, I thought about it, and I thought, what's the purpose of being here on Earth? You know, people are often mean, especially when you're a kid and you're not popular, and sometimes the popular kids pick on you and you don't have any support. But more than that, you look in the news and you see all the bickering and wars and countries being mean to each other. And in my mind, I felt like humanity was hopeless. I felt like, what's the point? These people are so barbaric or so mean, you know? And so I did think about it. And I needed a reason to live and be here. And that's what led me on a search to eventually coming across these people who died and came back on YouTube and the internet. And then I learned about Dr. Raymond Moody's book. He published in 1975. It's called Life After Life. And it was the first major publication, credible, by an actual, I think he was a, or is a psychiatrist, and also some other acronyms after his name. But he would listen to his patients, and some of his patients would report these experiences. He wrote them in a book, and as I read that book, it was it changed my whole perspective. And then I found people on YouTube who shared that they were in a car accident, or they were hit by lightning, or drowned, or had a medication a reaction, and what all happened. And in August 2012, I was in Colorado, and I came across a website, and it was actually for IANS, the International Association for Near-Death Studies. And it mentioned they had a conference coming up, and it'd be in Scottsdale, Arizona. And because I felt like the near-death experiences were finally a doorway into a reality. Before then, I looked up religions. I wasn't religious myself. I'm a scientist at heart. I question everything. And so I need evidence. I need a valid reason why to believe something, because there are so many people out there with so many ideas, and a lot of them are just, you know, fluff or misleading. So I need the evidence. And that's why when I found that conference, I signed up and I attended in Scottsdale, Arizona. And it was a turning point, because I felt, what's interesting is when people die and come back, it's often like a heart opener and an intuition opener. Even people who are engineers or business people who never had a care about spirituality, once they come back, it's like it opens up their whole energy field and perspective. And so when you meet these people at conferences, they're often so kind and loving. And so even if you're walking in the hallway and you never met a person in your whole life, but you look at each other and you have a sense on a soul level that, you know, that kind of recognition and empathy. And so with all of that, I felt like the reason I'm here on Earth, to make the most of it, is to basically spread the word about how these are all real, how this is actually, it's recorded in people's medical records. It isn't just people making things up or hallucinating or just imagining what they want to believe. This is actually happening. And so the year after that, in 2013, I was on Facebook and I started a group and I called it Near Death Experiences. And at that time, I wasn't thinking of it in terms of becoming popular or growing a lot. I wanted a place to put articles and videos and organize things. And so I would put articles there. And over time, it just, people would keep on finding out about it and joining and joining and joining. And right now it has over 260,000 members. A lot of them are experiencers, but a lot of them are people with questions. And so in the U.S. in particular, a lot of people grow up in religion. And in a lot of the churches, they teach about hell and they focus on how scary it is, how bad it is, how you don't want to end up in hell. And because of that, a lot of people kind of have this emotional scarring and they're afraid of hell. And they're like, you know, tell me that I won't end up in hell. And the experiencers will explain that is our human kind of belief system around it, and that the reality is far bigger and grander, and that, yes, our actions are important. If you go around hurting people, you're going to hurt sooner or later. But it isn't about internal punishment. It isn't about appeasing a man on a throne. It's about being our best selves here. And that's why they call this an Earth school. But it should be a funner school. We should have more fun here. It isn't all about suffering and battling. And a lot of people, I've heard people actually say that, well, Earth is hell. This is hell. I don't want to be here. This is hard. It's hard. But we always have a choice in how we perceive our pain, and we can either fixate on the suffering or we could focus on making things better. So I said a lot there, and I think I have 20 minutes. Let me know if I ever need to stop.
You're very close.
Okay.
But don't go away, because we want you to help us with questions
exactly.
On the commentary and, you know, being a medium. And we have two guests on the line already waiting to ask questions. Let me ask. The first one that called in was Judith. And are you there, Judith?
Yes. I want to understand when you cross to the other side, what are you actually experiencing when you go there right away? Do you see white lights? Do you fall? What is it that you're experiencing to know that you're somewhere else? I don't care about heaven and hell. That's nothing to me. I want to understand when you cross that bridge, where are you and what are you experiencing when you first get there?
Yes, you want to answer that?
Yes. Thanks, Judith, for your question. And so so oftentimes, especially when it's our time, and so I'll share this. So when people have near-death experiences, it happens when a person will die and then come back because it isn't their time. But when it is our time, people often will talk about how their loved ones will be there to get them and greet them. And so we will often have our our family members, our friends who passed away, or even our pets. There are people who've had dog or cat or other animals who even they had as a child and passed away a long time ago. And in their NDE, they actually see them. And so it often starts with our loved ones. And then it is a matter of it's almost like traveling to another dimension, and it's entering that higher energy white light state, and that the place where it's almost like Earth is a much slower energy. It's a much more dense energy. And so that's a much higher energy. We'll enter that realm. And over there, people talk about how it's so much richer. The colors, that there are colors that we don't even have here, because our human eyes can only perceive a small fraction, and that we see in all directions because we don't have the physical eyes to limit us. And then it's a matter of people talk about their life review and reviewing everything in their whole life, and sometimes focusing on certain chapters or parts. Like if there was an incident which you were particularly happy or proud of, or sometimes the challenging ones, or when you had a major argument with someone and it ended up in pain. All of these are learning experiences for our souls, and so we will often go over them, and we will be supported. And I don't think anyone has the final answer on everything that happens, but I have heard from a lot of experiences and mediums in that we have a choice in terms of, we can actually help our loved ones still here on Earth. And so we can also become guides and kind of steer them towards a better path. So oftentimes when people say, you know, that if you lose a loved one, you need to pray for them. Well, oftentimes it's actually the opposite, because they are in an amazing, high energy, beautiful place. Here is the hard part. And so they are praying for us and trying to help us out.
Okay. I personally, I communicate with people that I've lost. They come and they visit me. And one time I almost died. I didn't get as far as anything you've described, but I almost died once in surgery. And I remember the white light. I don't remember seeing anybody else. I remember something pulled me back and it said it wasn't my time. But I do get to communicate with loved ones that are gone on a very regular basis. So I don't know what my connection is. It's different. It's different than what I expected. What I expected you to like talk about.
Well,
yes, I had a dog and I had cats and all that, but I've never experienced my animals. I've only experienced loved ones that circle around and come and visit me in my spiritual space. And they
let me ask something here. The animals usually will meet you after you've crossed over, although they can come and visit you, because I've had them come to me in dreams. But usually they're waiting for you when you actually cross over. And go ahead.
Well, I'll be happy to see my Samantha. I had a dog, well, Samantha, that I love. She hasn't visited me, but I can tell you that I've had a few husbands. My father visits. I have an uncle who visits. I have a brother that visits, and two of my late husbands visit me most frequently. But I get to see them visit me almost daily.
Well,
it's very interesting. What?
Well, that is so beautiful. And something I want to add to is that you mentioned how in your NDE, when you almost died, you didn't see any loved ones at that time. And I want to add for everyone.
I didn't see anybody. All I saw was a white light and a tunnel. And I could feel like a vacuum pulling me in. That's all that I felt. And then all of a sudden I felt it's like stopped. And saying something, it almost said, but not in words like I'm saying. It was almost saying, it's not your time, and it pushed me back.
I love that. And you know that actually is that intelligence, and people call it God. It could have been an angel. It could have been a guide. But you know, for anyone who wonders, yes, there is a higher power, and you know, the name we call it is up to us, because it's for everyone. It isn't for any.
I agree 100%.
And
there's
and,
higher
you know,
power
people,
that exists for all of us, and however you want to believe in it, it's okay.
Exactly.
As long as it helps you do positive things.
Exactly. You know, it's all about, you know, actually, if you've heard of Howard Storm, he's a near-death experiencer. And in his experience, because he was an atheist before his experience, and he used to actually mock religious people. He was arrogant, and he openly talks about this. He was arrogant, and he hurt a lot of people. So when he died and came back, in his experience, he was greatly humbled, and they basically showed him all of his behavior, how it affected others, and how it hurt others. And you know, when you are shown everything that you did, you know, that hurt others, it isn't about trying to punish us, but it's like, here is the plain truth. Here is what you did. This is all your own responsibility. And the only way forward for our souls is to accept and everything that we caused and are responsible for. And it's in that humbling process. But he asked, he said, I'm not religious. He said, what do I tell people, you know, on earth, you know, like, which religion is the best one? Am I supposed to be a Christian? And God said, whichever religion brings you closest to love, you know, and exactly as you put it, you said, whichever one helps us do good things on earth. And so,
right, yes. like the do one, you know, the golden rule, do unto others as you would have others do unto you.
That's
the easiest way to describe it.
Exactly. And also, even if you've had an injury and you didn't meet anyone else, a lot of people have those. It doesn't mean that they're not there. It just means that in that one particular injury, you weren't meant to meet them. Like, it wasn't the time or purpose for it.
Okay, that part, I think I lost part of it from the transmission. Say the last part again.
So a lot of people...
Go ahead.
When people have NDEs, and sometimes each NDE is focused on a particular purpose. And so the fact that you went into the white light, but you didn't meet anyone else, is perfectly fine and normal, and it doesn't mean that they don't exist, because as Diana said, and you know, when our time actually is coming for real, our loved ones are there.
I agree with that. I expect to meet all the people that I was involved with on earth eventually. They'll all be waiting
exactly.
for me. But I told them not to rush me. I'm not ready yet.
Oh, you're not done. There's a lot of things you have left to do.
Say it again.
I said, you're not done yet. There's a lot of things you have left to do down here before you get to leave.
Right, I'm not ready, so they shouldn't rush me.
Well, actually, don't have any say about that. It's when, and I don't know who's in charge, but the one that is, which is probably God, you know, you're done when you're done, and you'll be over to the other side, and it'll be so beautiful that you will wonder what took you so long to get over there.
One day I'm going to go to sleep, and I'm going to say, okay, God, I'm ready. And sleep over.
Be careful, he might just hear you and say, okay, let's go.
That's what I think is going to happen, because I don't believe I'm going to have any traumatic, I'm not going to die. I'm probably going to die in my sleep, and I'm going to be ready. That's what I always keep
thinking.
Well,
that's all we can all wish for.
Say that again?
I said, that's all we can all wish for.
No, that's the feeling. I just like I think I'm going to die when I'm 87 years old. because that's been the number in my head forever.
Yeah, well,
it's like it's a very strange thing. Since I'm really young, that's been the number that keeps coming in my brain.
Thank you. We have another guest calling on the phone.
Okay, whoever wants to talk, give them a chance. I'm listening.
Okay.
Thanks, Judith.
Vivian, are you there?
Hey.
Okay, welcome.
Thank you for letting me know about this. How are you?
We are all good. Do you have any questions for Ned about the
well,
about anything or me?
Okay. Well, first of all, you know, there's a book called Journey of Souls, Ned. Have you read that by Michael Newton?
I have, yes. Although I would say it was about 10 years ago. But I remember most of the overall gist of it.
Yeah, it's on a safe subject, and it really, it sums up a lot of good stuff. My question is, what about people who have a habit, the non-controlled habit, but like if some people close to me pass away, like I woke up and screamed, "Grandpa, don't," when my grandfather was passing away. And then being from Brooklyn and working in Manhattan when 9/11 happened, I had a dream about that happening too. And then I had some stuff happen the next day that was pretty parallel to the dream. What's the purpose of that? Or do you know of any purpose of why people, am I holding and containing their passage? Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, well, you know, it's actually a fairly common, or, you know, it's like I would say I know a lot of people, especially once they have an NDE and they come back and their whole system, their energy centers are open, where it's almost like that psychic information is just, it comes to them. And the only
but I haven't
that I
had
can,
one.
Well, exactly. And so it doesn't have to, but I just mean that for people who do have them, it does open them up. And there are people who have them since being a child. And so it's just, and I know that sometimes particular genes, you know, a DNA perhaps makes it easier. And so you'll see that it's hereditary. Sometimes in a family, like the grandmother would be like that, and then the mother, and then the child. It can often happen like that. But also it could mean that your soul is, you know, on a more spiritual or, let's say, evolved or experienced level. And so then the question it becomes, okay, well, what do you feel about this? Because, you know, in terms of, have you ever thought about actually using it to help people? Have you ever thought about, being a medium or a healer? Or is it something where it's like a side effect and you don't actually appreciate it?
Well, I am a healer. I'm an orthopedic physical therapist with a spiritual psychology degree. And so I'm aware that I'm in tune, you know, and I use my abilities with my patients on the daily. But I was just curious if you had a perspective over, like, I had it was pretty difficult for me after the 9/11 one, where I was like, what's the point of having this insight if it doesn't really change anything that's happening? I didn't really know the point.
Right.
And then just, and it's not something like, you know, if I ask Diana a question, she knows where to go and she has control over being able to access that part of her brain to connect. And, you know, she's like the telephone service between me and my guides and my family and my pets and everyone, and telling me which guides to stay away from. But with this particular thing, it was like I felt so helpless as a result of it because I couldn't do anything about it. So why am I being shown that this is happening just as like a standby?
I know several people who've also who have had or have experiences like that, including I have a friend, her name is Barbara, and she's a multiple near-death experiencer, but also a medium since 3 years old. And in her case, you know, like she also saw, you know, 9/11. She also saw October 7th a few years ago before it happened, and other things. And so I don't have the full answer, and I don't think she does or anyone, because I know, you know, like how you feel. It's like it's almost a burden or painful. Like, I don't want to see this. How come I'm seeing this? And the only thing I can kind of guess or estimate is, you know, it's a combination of, it's just a matter of your energy field is open, so you get it. But I'm curious, is this something, if I were you, I'd pray about? I would pray about it, ask about it, because there is a higher power. There are guides, and just, you know, and say, help me understand. And there are people who actually say, you know, please close this doorway. I'm not interested in hearing that. And oftentimes it will actually be granted, you know, with that ask. But it could be a matter, like, I'll say that if I had that experience of knowing future events, especially tragedies, perhaps in my own way, I'd probably use it in a sense.
Mine was in future. Mine was as it was happening both times. Mine wasn't the foreseeing. Mine was like in the moment when either people are dying, I will, like, I woke up and screamed, "Grandpa, don't," and I saw the whole light was on. And then the next morning my father says, "Hey, a good friend of mine passed away," and I go, "It was Grandpa, wasn't it?" I was a young kid, which is also why I believe in the, you know, not believe, but I'm present to the fact that different people have different abilities, because when you're young enough that you have an experience like that, you don't question it. Like, it happened. But yeah, it happens in the moment. And then when, with the 9/11 one, I was sleeping. I was a physical therapist about four blocks from the Twin Towers before it happened. Then I moved to California and I was working at Cedars-Sinai at the time. And then I had a dream that, like, I couldn't get to the city. And I'm trying to get onto the highway to get to the city, to my old job, not the one I had. And then, like, hail started falling on the cars, which is sort of like what the buildings look like when they fell. And then I'm trying to call into the city, and I can't get in. And then finally I got through to my old boss, who goes, "It's okay, we know what's going on. We moved your patients around. You can go home." I get woken up at that moment by somebody telling me that a plane hit the towers. I go to Cedars-Sinai, and my supervisor looks at me and goes, "We know what's going on. We move your patients around. You could go home." Like, the exact words that were in this dream. And then I tried calling my parents in New York, because my father works down there, and I couldn't get through. So it was, I was like, what was the point of that?
You know, like, I, yeah, if I were you, it's something I'd pray about and ask about. Because I do know other people who've had, like, someone who I know, since he's had it, his senses were opened up. He says sometimes if he's at a conference at the hotel, it's so hard for him because he's picking up all the people's thoughts in the rooms around him. It's really interesting. And so the only thing I can say is that your energy field is open, and so some information, you know, comes in. Yeah. And so I can't say if you actually, you know, if a spirit is showing you this for a reason, or if it's just because your energy is open. But I do know that if I were you, I would definitely pray about it and ask about it and be curious.
Yeah, been curious ever since the first one happened.
Vivian, I'm going to have to put you on hold. We have Michelle from Michigan on. And I will speak to you later.
Okay. Always great to talk to you.
Thank you so much for calling in.
No worries. Bye.
Michelle, are you there?
How are you?
I'm good. And how are you?
I'm doing good, thank you.
Or should I tell you?
Oh, yeah, really? You tell me.
Do you have questions for us?
Yeah, I was just wondering, I have three special people that have crossed over: my dad, my husband, Clint, and my best friend, Joy. And I get signs that they're around a lot when I'm out and about. And I was just wondering if there's anything any of the three of them wanted to tell me or warn me about.
You want to take that, Ned?
Let me try. So, did any of them wear a red or blue baseball cap?
Yes.
Because I saw that, and perhaps something around baseball. Did they play that or were really into it? Okay.
They're into it, yes.
And I feel like it's probably your brother who's into it.
Well, my brother hasn't passed yet. It would be, I was thinking more of my dad, my husband, and my friend Joy, but, my dad was into, baseball. He liked the Tigers and he played and coached, when he was younger.
That could be that he was actually referencing your brother for a different reason. Sometimes it's almost like
my brother does wear the baseball hats all the time, though. My brother Vincent, yes.
Oh, cool. Okay. Yeah. I feel like something really American about them, or that message of kind of Midwest feeling, but I'm asking if there's any a message that they have. Let me see. Was there something about hot dogs? I could be wrong.
Something about hot dogs?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yes. Not that's coming to mind. I mean, nothing coming right here, right now.
No one was in a hot dog eating contest?
no, that's funny. Not that I'm aware of. I mean, maybe my dad was, and I didn't know, like, when he was younger, but.
Okay.
Because I get a picture of somebody just laughing at us and showing us hot dogs.
Okay. I mean, we did barbecue a lot. No, I'm not sure about that one.
So his personality. Your father, was he ever like that, you know, joking around and, you know,
Yeah, definitely. My dad was so fun. He was, I have my mom who's not fun at all, and then my dad was the polar opposite. Yeah, he had a silly sense of humor, and he was goofball, and yes, he was very fun.
I love that. I'm seeing a map now. One of those like a paper maps that you actually, that we had in the old days before our phones. But I'm curious if that reminds you of anything.
That's my dad. We actually still got his maps. He used to go to the UP and we'd go to Florida and we still have his paper maps in the house where he left them. So yeah, he was the map guy.
Well, cool. Well, you know, I'm smiling because oftentimes, like on road trips, I'm actually called Ned the Navigator, so I relate.
Oh.
Cool. Yeah, it's almost like, because the energy I feel is I don't have any serious message. It's kind of this loving and fun energy and kind of message, and that they're watching over you. Do you have a particular question you want to ask them?
Let's see. I don't know
the money.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be nice. I don't know if they would know I had a health issue recently and the doctors can't figure out what happened. I don't know if they have any insight on what happened. It had to do with my heart.
Your heart. I'm curious if for some reason this could be related or not, but I saw like seafood. So I'm curious if there might have been some kind of, you know, in the past or a food poisoning that kind of had a lingering infection that eventually perhaps caused a heart issue. Is any of this sounding relevant?
Well, yes. I feel like I took my medication twice that day, my blood pressure medication, too close together, and then my heart started going crazy, and none of the doctors were really believing that was the case, and they were put me on medicine for something else, and it was making me not feel well, and so I feel like it was like a poisoning from taking too many pills that day.
Could be, yeah. It could be. Diana, do you feel anything about it?
Yeah, I'm looking. No, I think it was the overdose of the pills, actually. That was
okay. Yeah, that's what I feel. And then when I got on the other medicine that I don't think I need, it made it worse. So I have stopped.
Right,
you
didn't need that other one at all.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, that was a scary day. So.
Good yeah, to that know. Would be scary.
Yeah.
Do you see anything else?
I'm seeing like a pie and a dessert. And so I'm curious because it's just a food thing. It sounds unrelated, but, you know, I'm curious if your dad or someone likes to eat pies. And like, I definitely have a sweet tooth, but it's just showing me that.
Yeah, my dad liked apple crumble pies a lot.
So it's the hot dog and the pie. He's just focused like that.
Yeah,
I'm
he would have
too,
something so. Sweet at night. So when I wasn't feeling well one night, I was on my couch and I closed my eyes and was trying to like calm myself down. And when my husband Clint was alive, he worked nights and he used to come home from work at like 1 a.m. and I would still be awake, but I wouldn't want to have to talk to him. So I would fake like I was sleeping and he would put his face really close to my face. And that night when I was sitting there with my eyes closed, I swear I could feel like someone's face really close to my face. And I was just wondering if that was possibly Clint, like letting me know he was there and trying to help calm me and relax me.
I get it
yes.
With Clint. What do you get?
It's almost like a loving, grounding feeling in terms of you know, it's like I'm here, like you know, you are safe or protected. I'm here.
Yeah. Oh, I got chicken skin from that. Yeah. It was very like I could feel it. And like, obviously I opened my eyes, no one's there, but I'm like, oh, you know, I told my daughter, I was like, I think your dad's here. Like, I feel like he's around. And I do feel like he's around a lot. Like when I'm driving in the car and things like that. And all of a sudden I'll get chicken skin in the car. Like if a certain song comes on and I'll think he's riding along with me in the car because he used to act real silly in the car and dance around. So if it's music from like when we were younger and he was still here, I feel like he's riding along. Is that a possibility?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, especially like when that music puts you in your heart and you feel just that a joy, you know, because that increases our energy too. And so our energy is kind of rising up to meet like his energy. And so, yeah.
Aw, well, that's comforting.
And it's almost like, you know, when people, when they have near-death experiences, they say, like, this whole world, as real as it is, it's not as real as what is anything that's related to love. And they say that's like the foundational force of the universe. And so whatever puts you in your heart and makes you more happier and feeling that love is actually the most real thing. And especially when you know, your time comes and whatnot, it's like all those experiences and memories are basically, you know, like our true wealth.
So.
So, yeah. Any other questions? Or,
Let's see. This is kind of silly, but what do they spend their time doing in heaven?
That's a good question, and I don't have the full answer because I've heard, you know, over time several things, but I do know, like I mentioned earlier, one of the common things is helping us out. And so oftentimes, you know, if we are stuck or we are having a hard time, you know, as hard as it is to believe sometimes, we are never alone. And so if you're driving, you know, and you're thinking of him and you have music on, if you look over, he could just be, you know, right there, sitting in the passenger seat. And also, I know that I've heard it's like, there are places where people are actually either learning things or performing jobs. I don't have, you know, a concrete experience myself, but Dana, if you have any perspective, I'm curious on the afterlife.
Oh yeah. Well, a lot of the times, like when, say you're a scientist and you're doing experiments trying to help humanity, the ones that were scientists and they're up in heaven, will give information to the person down here that would help them out.
Oh, wow.
So sometimes, they're very busy, especially if they like you. They're very busy making sure you're, you know, you might be delayed. If you're ever delayed, and you have to go someplace and you lose your keys, something bad is going on that you think in your house because you're not leaving on time and you're going to be late for a meeting. It's a blessing because what they're doing is keeping you from being in trouble. I can give you quick little story. I was driving to Michigan, and I was on some two-lane highway up in the mountains of some place, and I was just so I kept being so late. I was at a gas station, and everything was taking so long, and I was getting a little funky. And I remembered, you better just calm down because there's a reason for this. And as I got on the road and I drove about 10 minutes, sure enough, there was this huge accident with a big semi hanging halfway over the cliff. And had left when I was supposed to, I would have been right in the middle of it. So there's always those little things going on so don't get too, you know, upset if things aren't going your way, because maybe you're just being protected so that you are not in the middle of something that isn't yours.
Okay, so yeah, missing my exit and having to go around like I was meant to miss the exit because maybe I would have gotten in a car accident or something like that, is what you're saying.
Sometimes we call those miracles.
Yeah, but, that would definitely be a miracle. I have one more question. I don't want to take up too much of your guys' time, but sometimes I'll be driving and I'll see someone walking on the road or the car behind me, I'll look in my rearview mirror, and for a split second, it'll look like my dad or my husband, like just for like 1 to 2 seconds. And then I look back again, and it's obviously not my dad or my husband, and I can see the actual. Is that anything with them, or?
We have 5 more minutes. Ned, do you want to say something about that?
Yeah, sure, yeah. That could be... A scientist within me wants to like analyze that, because, you know, I'm definitely, I have that scientist approach, and then I have the spiritual, because I'm all about the evidence. So it could be like on a science level that, you know, that you were either thinking of them or you kind of had that in your subconscious. But also I want to add, in spiritual perspective, if there are no accidents, and if they even made you think of them, it's often, you know, it could be them almost nudging that to happen. And so I wouldn't discount it. And so if you see that and you take that as a reminder or a sign, and you, basically in your mind or out loud, you can basically talk to them and say, I'm thinking of you, or, you know, so glad you're here.
Okay.
Yeah, I do. I'll say, oh, I see you. And yeah, well, that's great. Thank you, guys. I appreciate your time.
You're welcome. Let me just say a few things, too. If you wanted to be on longer and you weren't able to, we will be on, not next week, but the week after. And you are most welcome to call us back, and we will give you more time.
So, sounds great.
Okay, for everybody who didn't get enough time, because I know that some people had more questions, but I think they were so amazed at Ned's wonderfulness that they didn't get him out in time. So,
well, thank you very much, guys. You have a good day.
Okay, thank you.
You too.
Okay, bye-bye.
So, Ned, thank you so much for being with us.
You're welcome. And yes, and you know, I'm happy in the future to come on. And also, for people who do have questions about the afterlife or anything that I've shared, you know, I want to remind all of us that the message is always about love and compassion, and isn't ever about hating the other political party or hating any other group of people. It's, if you think about the message of Jesus, think about the message of, you know, he even talked about immigrants, and I'm not going to be political, but I'll just say immigrant is just a label for all people. So how do we be kind to everyone and yes, uphold our rules and laws, but we can do it in a kind way, because how all of our actions, we are accountable for everything. And the most, the yardstick or measurement of our souls is our progress is basically love. And so how compassionate and authentic were we? And, you know, our intention behind things, is our intent to help, or is it our intent to hurt or be mean? That's it.
Okay. Thank you. I'm going to sign off. Thank you so much, Ned. This concludes our program for tonight. We will be back every other Sunday at 3 p.m. Pacific time. And I'd like to say thank you to Ned for his wonderful reviews. And actually, next time we're going to be speaking about the things you can expect in heaven. I am Diana White Eagle, and this is Joseph Barley Presents. And thank you so much for listening.